Welcome everybody to a new episode of the OTT podcast. My name is Tyler Thompson. I'm the editor-in-chief of Kentucky Sports Radio. And tonight I'm not only joined by Faith Barney, I'm joined by my husband, Matt. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back. Always happy to talk about one of my favorite shows to rewatch, Friday Night Lights.
I know, and we've been burning through it.
I do not appreciate the Grandma Saracen hate coming out of the gate with our other host, Barney.
Yeah, so if you're not watching this, if you're just listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, we're also doing it on Zoom, so you can watch on Facebook. And Barney is still using the slightly offensive virtual background of Grandma Saracen with a big X on her face.
How is it offensive? You know, we all have to die, and Grandma is like a cockroach. She just continues to survive season after season. This is like, you know, the nuclear blast comes, all these other characters come and go, and Grandma's still crawling around forgetting stuff.
I love that you took some heat for your Grandma Saracen takes on Twitter.
From whom?
From Jax Teller, who was just like, man, she's got dementia, and you just keep crushing her.
Yeah, Jax Teller from the top rope out of nowhere. I don't know what that was about. But, you know, Grandma Saracen, I just don't see how she's likable. But whatever. She doesn't do anything to the plot.
I think she had some great lines. I actually wrote some down in my notes for this season. So we're starting season 4 of our rewatch. We just finished up the second half of season 3, and this is like the big shift in Friday Night Lights. We're no longer Dillon Panthers. We're East Dillon Lions.
Yeah.
So, Barney, what was your initial reaction to the shift?
Well, I knew it was coming, but I guess I just assumed that Wade was going there, that, like, something was going to – or, like, you know, when they had the split – that, you know, they were going to offer it to Wade, which would, in real life, have probably made the most sense, not taking it away from the coach who just brought him to state.
Yeah. Matt, did you think it was a realistic shift?
Yeah, I think so. They had to be careful about, you know, getting stale. I listened to your all's podcast of the last part of season 3. While I agree, had they won state, it would have been strange and not realistic for Coach Taylor to be shipped off. But this is Texas football, and, you know, it only matters if you got that ring.
So
if you didn't have that ring, you get all the excuse for you to walk yourself out. And I think they maybe thought that they had some, you know, traction here with Joe McCoy as a character and maybe even not finish telling the J.D. McCoy story. And this was a new challenge to give Coach Taylor. And I also feel like, you know, Tyler's point about, you know, these characters are moving on. They're no longer on the team. So do we want to all of a sudden start off with these new players that are going to have to play with J.D. McCoy? Or do we start off with these new players at a different team? So I think for a storytelling standpoint, it made sense. I think you could argue that it didn't make sense for him to get shipped out, but, you know, that's what creates drama.
Exactly.
I will agree with you. I think they did an awesome job of keeping things fresh. Really, season after season, there was always, like, some sort of drama. Like, it was either will he stay or will he go, or, you know, in season 1 to 2, and then season 2 to 3 was just a total cluster. But then in this season, I do agree. I feel like they could have made – I was just ready for them to just set up this whole huge build-up to East versus West Dillon with Wade as the coach of East Dillon. And, like, and just thinking that that was just going to be the whole thing and they were going to be doing all the hazing and pranks and all the stuff, and that JD was going to, you know, go follow him there or whatever, and it was just going to be like this huge, like, thing, which it ended up being. It was just the coach is wrong.
Yeah, could you see J.D. McCoy surviving at East Dillon?
Well, the new J.D. McCoy, maybe so, because he transformed from this quiet kind of sympathetic figure into full-on bad.
He's terrible. I mean, his hair, like, I feel like you can tell his character development with his hair. It's almost like he got, like, frosted tips and he's gelling it. And
went full-on Hansbro.
Yeah, he really did. So let's start out.
Matt, what do you think about the Hansbro comparison? Can you see it?
You have to show up a picture of me at Tyler.
Tyler Hansbrough. Oh my lord!
I don't obsess about non-Kentucky players like
he's Barney booby does. Eyes. You remember booby
Not
eyes?
Not just that, but his mouth is always hanging open. Like he's like a mouth breather. He's always
So is Mark Paul Gosselaar, Zach Morris,
yeah. Tyler, can you pull up that text?
I'm pulling it up. I'm not going to put it on the thing, but yeah.
Let me see.
Hold it up to the camera.
Yeah, I think that's fair. You can't really see this. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can see that really fair. Well. Yeah.
Sure. I'll give
you have the split screen I did? I'll find it. I'll find it. I'll show you, Matt. I really want you on my side here.
I'm on your side too. I think he looks like him.
I think he looks like him.
I think we're all on the same side.
I want you obsessing. Hang on a second.
I think what happened was is his character eventually kind of gave in to, you know, the attitude of his dad and fully embraced, you know, it's like when Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader. So.
See, this is we bring the Star Wars references when we have Matt on the show.
There you go, Tyler. Matt, plug your podcast. Our text photo history.
We'll plug it later.
Oh God, I can't imagine. I'm sure.
Yeah,
it's
I'm having to scroll for a while.
We text a lot.
This is a good one. Hold on.
Well,
we can't see it.
Yeah, I got rice.
What's funny?
I'm not sure what the context was of that, but it was pretty good.
I'm pretty sure I can figure it out.
I'm pretty sure you can figure out the context. Yeah.
Yeah.
COVID age mask
masks or non-masks.
Right.
Here's Mariah Carey dancing.
Oh, man. The missing 90s music video podcast.
We I know.
Did
R.I.P.
such a good job on that.
That was it.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get started. I think it would be good to start with first impressions and new characters. Oh my God! Of course you have that on there.
Ooh, that's a good one.
The one happy moment of John Rayburn's life that you have documented. All right, I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to start with Vince.
Vince.
You see Vince.
Yep.
All right, so Vince is probably obviously the most important new character of season four. We meet him. He's a troubled teen who's literally running from the law. The police, you know.
The correct term is juvenile delinquent.
Exactly. He's been in juvie. They want to give him one more chance. So their solution is maybe Coach Taylor can help him out. So, Barney, what was your first impression of Vince Howard?
I liked the whole storyline. I liked where it was going. And I never stopped liking Vince. He was great. He may be my second favorite Vince. You know.
Yeah,
Vince Gill on that one.
Vince Gill still number one, just because we're BFFs.
Under 10 minutes.
Under 10 minutes for the first Vince Gill reference.
You know that just because we're BFFs, from when I came and I stayed with you guys, and you know we hung out for a little bit, you know just before the UK game, you know
just chilling,
just like we usually do on Saturday mornings.
Yeah, Vince is a great character, as is Vince Gill. But I think this wasn't this one of Michael B. Jordan, the actor's first big roles? I think
it's the first thing that I know from four. And
he's so
could
good.
Michael B. Jordan have landed Amy Grant though? I mean,
it's a great question. I think he could.
Maybe
if he
back
wanted.
In the day. Yeah.
Maybe so. We'll never know.
All right, Matt, what was your first impression of Vince?
I mean, he's a solid actor. I don't think we had anybody like him, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of disadvantaged from the get-go.
Yeah, it's a different world at East Dillon.
If I had to think about, you know, not to say everybody was had the, you know, the road paved and red carpet and gold for them, but definitely he started from the bottom and had to work his way up. Created a lot of conflict with Coach that maybe didn't really have that much with players.
Great point.
You could maybe compare him to a couple other different players, but like Smash or Saracen. But quite honestly, Vince is Vince. So, yeah, he's a great complex character.
I think that they did with Vince what they tried to do with Grandma with Saracen. Not hating Grandma. I'm talking about the whole trying to juggle all of this really hard home life with football is what I'm trying to say. So
okay.
I think they tried to pull that off with Saracen, And, you know, there were a couple of episodes like, oh, Matt can't go out on a date because grandma is being grandma or whatever. But for the most part, there's really no comparing Vince's home life and his situation with Sarah's. I mean, at the end of the day, Sarah's had it made compared to Vince. But I think that what the writers tried to accomplish with that whole, man, I really feel for this quarterback because he's thrust into this crazy situation and he's also got all this stuff going on at home, they pulled off with resounding success with Vince's story.
I would agree. Yeah. And we'll talk more about Vince, obviously, as we go along, because he is the main character, I think, of the rest of the series. Let's go to Jess. What were your first impressions of Jess, fake Barney?
I mean, there was a lot of new characters all at the same time. She did a really good job of, like, changing her appearance a lot. So I found myself asking Baby Bob, okay, is this the one that Landry's talking to? Or is this the, there's too many new characters, all at once with the whole new show. Basically it's a new show. I mean, it's a whole new everything. And so it wasn't until really the second half of this season that I really started to get into her character and like her a whole lot. I don't feel like – I think that maybe she was kind of like who had 16 minutes in for the first OC reference? But I think that she's kind of like Summer. So you remember how at the beginning of the OC, Summer was kind of a secondary character. She wasn't on the main billing at the beginning of the show and everything. And then as the season went on, she got more and more speaking lines and more involved in the story. And I feel like that same thing kind of happened with her because, you know, she goes from just being kind of a girlfriend thing to a really central character later on in season 4 and 5.
Yeah, Matt, what did you think of Jess's first couple, or I guess first 7 episodes?
Well, I would probably forget about Jess, right, even though I don't think that she's terribly forgettable. I like that she doesn't tend to be a typical female, but that we've had before, except for the fact that she has caught young Landry's eye.
Landry.
And so there's a little bit of the, you know, Landry puppy dog eyes, the girl that's really not into him. And she just became that for a little bit. And without, you know, spoiling it, since we're only going to go through episodes 1 through 7, you know, other than, you know, Landry is interested in Jess and Jess, you know, is a tough cookie and her dad runs a barbecue. Jess ain't bad. She just can sometimes be a little forgettable.
Okay. I think that's fair. Jess's brighter days are to come. So
how about Landry shooting his shot though? I mean, this is the second girl that's clearly way out of his league.
He's confident, man.
You can't even see his eyebrows, and he still goes into it with full confidence.
I feel like Landry's just going to ask any girl. I mean, you know, you got to shoot your shot, you know, whether
he can land Tyra,
Tyra or, you know, the daughter from the barbecue place or the waitress from the B-dubs. I mean, you
got
to shoot
your
shot.
He's got his car with the red interior that is unfortunately burned. He had to burn up. So, that stinks.
Yeah. All right, next new character we will discuss, Luke Cafferty. I'll start with Luke. So, yeah, I know. He is kind of a snooze fest early on. He originally starts at Dylan, but it's the probably realistic storyline that in order to get him to play at Dylan, they put his mailbox in the school district when, in fact, he lives in East Dylan, which gives Tammy something to tackle as she is the principal of Dylan and has to be the one that does the right thing because Tammy always does the right thing and tell Luke that, no, you can't go to Dylan. You have to go to East Dylan because that's where you live. And these are the rules. And Tammy faces ridiculous backlash from the Dylan boosters and fans. I think they write Panther hater on her car and paint. I mean, he kind of serves multiple, you know, roles in this whole series for a restart. Mm-hmm. I don't mind Luke. I will agree he's kind of boring, but
he's super boring.
They needed a foil for Vince too. So whenever he joins the team, he and Vince, you know, because East Dillon's a bad football team. I mean, everybody will see. They have to forfeit their first game. They're not good. And Vince Howard by himself was not going to save that team. So they had to bring in somebody. And I think, yeah, and I think bringing him in, you know, it kind of – it stokes the rivalry a little bit. But, Matt, what did you think?
I mean, I can understand about, you know, Luke not being the most interesting character. I think in the first couple of episodes, he's clearly a pawn between Dillon and East Dillon. He's playing that role of just the player. I think he means well. I think he could have had a much worse attitude about having switched. He just said, look, I just want to play ball. And when they told him, like, you know, well, if you want to play ball, you have to play ball here. And it's like, well, but I have a better shot at playing at Dillon. And, you know, they're just like, well, sorry, that's not happening. And he kind of just embraced it, and he didn't whine or pout about it. I don't think, you know, he tried to get it to change, but I mean, I think he will evolve. I think he also got a curve hitted to him in the second half of season four, and that sucks for him. But, you know, he can be not quite that entertaining.
Barney, what do you think?
I'm going to intentionally put $5 in the spoiler Venmo or whatever here and come in with the hot take that Luke is Coach's scowl. Comes in with the big hype.
Yeah. And then
whatever. I mean, nothing happens with him. He ends up going to some, you know, getting offers from – I'm not going to say what happens, but I'm going to say he gets offers from these duty schools. But, like, in every single highlight reel that we see of him, he's blowing it up, man. He's playing offense and defense. I mean, and this, you know, when we start to see the team start to take off, to your point, it's a lot because of Luke. And I think Coach just completely botches his recruiting and focuses way too much on Vince. And then Luke is, like, wasted.
You think that means that that's the Billy Gillespie moment of the first half of the season?
That's what I had. As
really?
My Billy G moment. Yep.
All right.
What?
Yeah.
I think wasted talent, and I think that's all on Coach's shoulders.
Dang, Barney throwing shots at Coach.
Yep,
Taylor.
He should have stayed with killing his brother. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert for Bloodline. not for
Boy, season five got really intense.
Season five got super dark, super quick.
Little did we know that, spoiler alert, Friday Lights is a prequel to Bloodline. So.
Yeah.
It was, is it not? The good guy did a really bad thing.
So let's cover the final new character, or the one that really matters to me.
Ugh.
Becky. Well, I'll go ahead and get this out. She was my least favorite character.
Why? I mean, you need to explain this instead of just blind Becky hate. At least I justify my Sarah's and
she's
grandma.
She's terrible. Hate. She's absolutely right from the start. She's annoying. So she comes into the Friday Night Lights world because Riggins slept with her mom, who's a waitress. Okay. And Riggins needs a place to stay, so he rents out a trailer on said waitress's property. Okay, here comes Becky, already annoying. She's into pageants. She like won't call people by just one name. She has to use their full name, which is always annoying. Like, oh, hey, Tim Riggins. Like, how you doing, Tim Riggins? And she's just obsessed with him.
And why is she obsessed with him? They don't really give her a reason other than, I mean.
He's Tim Riggins.
Dude
but
slept with her mom.
Yeah, is that not gross to her?
He's kind of a bit of a drunk right now.
We have a guest.
He doesn't really look that attractive at this point in time. What is it that just makes Becky just obsess about Tim Riggins? Just does not make any sense.
Baby Bop, what do you think of Becky?
I hated her at first.
I know.
But I also
no spoilers because we're only like seven
first,
episodes.
First half of season four.
Okay. I
so
feel
just
like,
when you first met her.
Okay. She's very annoying. But I think she's kind of doing the best with what she's got. If you look at her mama.
Yeah.
you know.
Her deadbeat dad.
There's you can't ask a lot of her as a high school girl with a slutty mom.
I thought Becky was supposed to have good hair. It's supposed to be Becky with the good hair.
She
look at that.
Becky with the bad hair.
No, that is not. That looks like a baby doll's hair.
That's some good curl.
It's people hard to would kill for those curls. See, baby Bob, guys don't understand. Like, But what really annoyed me, so
Matt, do you like her hair?
I don't like anything about Becky.
Yeah.
I don't need to. Thank you. Thank you. I knew you would have my back.
So, one thing that I noticed this time around that I don't know if I noticed the first time I watched about how annoying Becky is, she called Riggins at Saracen's dad's wake. Like, who
does that? Oh, yeah, that was awful.
Who does that?
Did she not know where he was, though?
She's manipulative. She's selfish.
She's very selfish.
And everything that.
But she's also.
She totally is a victim of her own whatever.
She's 15 years old or whatever she is. But
it's selfish because no one else has ever cared about her or enough to tell her that she's being selfish.
Yeah. I mean, you can see she's.
Oh, she her doesn't. Mom's silly selfish and her dad's silly selfish. So it's not surprising. But that still doesn't mean that I don't find that annoying.
Oh, you still haven't given me a real reason why you don't like her. You're just like.
I just gave you a whole
she's
bunch
awful.
Of reasons.
She's the worst.
Like yeah, I gave you like 20 different reasons.
No, Tyler.
What reasons do you want? I don't like her hair. I don't like her attitude. I don't like the fact that she calls people by their full name.
Yes,
I don't like the fact that she's selfish. I don't like the fact
that by their full name.
With the guy that fucked her. Excuse me. That said.
Well, there went the tag. We put the tag on our podcast.
We're on podcast.
Yeah, just.
Don't we have a jar for that too?
Yeah. Just, there's so many reasons why I hate Becky. So.
I think it's just like every time she comes up to Riggins's truck window. It's like, hey, Tim Riggins, I need a ride to school. Hey, Tim Riggins.
Did you not have any friends in high school that you used their full name or college?
Not like no, that. I mean.
Not
I had
some bases, no.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, I really enjoyed how episode 6 ended with Riggins telling her, Becky, shut up.
That's the best line
of
the whole.
I feel like season. I was the whole. I feel like he was speaking for the audience there. Yeah. We're not
Becky,
supposed to
just,
like
just
her.
And Riggins is his words are like currency anyway. You don't get a lot of it, so for like 3 lines to be wasted on Becky, shut up, is pretty good.
Oh no, we've been signed out because our account is signed in from another device.
Who is hacking us?
Okay, we are back. Sorry about the interruption. The KSR Zoom is a busy place these days. And my coworker, Nick Roush, was trying to log on to do 11 personnel. So, you know, if you're angry about this blip in the recording, please tweet him at Roush KSR. Even though he's had a rough week. You know,
I'm going to stop and tweet him right now.
So we were talking about Becky. I think we've kind of...
I think we've covered the ground.
We've covered that subject.
Becky's Becky.
She was my least favorite character. She was yours. Was she yours? I'm assuming.
Easily, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Barney, was
we'll
she yours?
We'll remain so.
No, new JD is the worst.
Okay. That's fair.
Yeah. New JD McCoy is terrible.
What about you, baby Bob?
New JD. He's just his dad, though. He's just become his dad.
Right. Nope. His hair especially is terrible, like, where it's just got that, like, curly, kind of frosty spike. And
what does he look like?
Well, Baby Bop likes that kind of North Carolina look. So,
listen.
The frosted tips, the Tyler Hansbrough.
I don't care what you look like. If you beat Duke 4 times, you can look like whatever you want.
Ooh.
Right?
Touché.
Thank you.
Exactly.
What about favorite character? Baby Bop, who was your favorite character of the first half of season 4?
I didn't do my homework for this. I just walked out.
I'll answer for her. I know who it is. It's Tam Sass.
Yeah.
Tam Sass. So we saw full-on Tam Sass coming in. Tammy Taylor with her sassy self becoming the character that you were telling me that I was going to like all along. That I just wasn't quite there, where she's just gone full on low cut. We'll say that.
No. They cover her.
What do you talk about her?
They gave her age appropriate clothes.
And her cowboy boots everywhere.
Always with the cowboy boots.
She basically wears the outfit that you wear if you're a girl to a country concert in North Carolina.
That's fair.
Better than that. She's like business on the top, party on the bottom.
I could see her trying to go pee in the woods in the parking lot of the pavilion up here.
She probably did do that.
Tammy has a really good boss moment early in the season, though, when she tells off the boosters.
I could see Julie peeing in the woods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Julie would totally pee in the woods and hook up with somebody while she was there. I mean,
yeah. That is a country concert. There's a lot of information that comes out about his past dating life on this podcast.
Tammy rolling up on the boosters at Applebee's. Was awesome. How about Tammy with the coin toss?
That was great.
It was also good. Remember, we want to kick this way, you want to call this, blah, blah, blah. You gave him like three instructions, and she did the opposite of every single one of them and locked it out.
It was awesome. I loved, it's not quite like a really fun moment, but I thought it was a great moment for her when she is helping Matt Saracen after his dad died, and she went to the funeral home with him. Yeah. And the funeral home director's like trying to swindle Matt Saracen into buying this like really expensive $9,000 casket. And she just takes over and is like, you're not doing that to this kid. Like, she's great. Like, she's just really great. Like, she takes over. I love her. So, yeah, Tam Sass is definitely a trend that is on the rise, I would say.
Everybody that, when having not watched the show, everybody is like, Tammy's the best. And I mean, she's great, like, to this point, but she's not the best. She's not worthy of, like, the
isn't she the biggest person on the art?
The like, focal yeah, point but, of the DVD
season,
cover.
But in this season, I'm sold. I'm totally sold. She's awesome.
All right. I'm surprised that you guys went with Tammy, because I went with Buddy as my favorite character for the first half of season 4, because you get to see Buddy, who is always, you know, dyed and true Dylan Panther booster. It's who he is. It's the first thing he identifies with. And he denounces that and becomes an East Dillon Lion, which is just like a fascinating thing to watch. I loved it. And there's that great part where Eric kind of asks him to become a booster for the East Dillon Lions. And he says, you can't fake boosterism. It's got to come from the heart.
The best Buddy moment in this first half of this season was when Buddy shows up at the house and you're like, yes. Oh God, this is going to be a disaster.
And Tammy's and like, tell like, him
yucking
to
it up with the East Dillon alum. And I mean, that was the last thing that we expected. Yeah. We started laughing at that.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. I think the line of the can't fake boosterism kind of set it up for us to think like, oh no, this is not going to work well. And having seen this episode a couple of times, I forgot on the rewatch about the little twist there that even Buddy knows all the guys that he's dealing.
Oh, and he's from then on, he's just perfect with it. He loves
more,
it.
More great writing.
Buddy's character development, I think, is my favorite because he's always Buddy. Like, he's always true to his nature.
Yeah.
But he also, you see growth in him, which is just the mark of a really good character.
Yeah, I mean, I've long talked about the arc for Buddy Garrity, and I hinted that it's coming. And this, to me, when they were at the J.D. McCoy cookout, and he puts his ads up, he goes, I'm no longer a Panther. And he Panther. Just announces his Pantherhood.
No longer a Panther.
And fully engages into supporting East Dillon. To me, that
not fully. Have y'all noticed that his clothes start to gradually change in the color spectrum? I never noticed this type of stuff, but I totally noticed that. So like when he first started showing up to the East Dillon games, that's when I'm like, not totally. He's wearing like it's like a maroonish kind of black shirt. Like it's not, he's not full on, or it's like you see him move from the blue to the red. And then like by the end, you're right, man. He's like full on, you know, lines.
I also feel like it's an interesting take because you can see, you know, Buddy just inherited this. He kind of built it, and with his personality, and you can see him rebuild a program with boosterism from the ground up. And it's kind of amazing about just how good he is at what he does. So,
yeah, Buddy was great. We'll get more of him in the second half of season 4. I was about to let loose a spoiler, but I will save it for the next episode because there's a really great buddy moment in the second half of season
four. It's never stopped you before, especially on Twitter today, Tyler.
Oh, whatever. People knew that new characters are coming.
The fact that you have Becky as a new character, I mean, there could have been a new character and they still would have been at Dylan.
Now, she had a list of them. She was like, we're going to talk about me.
been freshman class people.
Well, that's what I said to the guys. This guy responded back and was like, I'm on season one. And I was like, oh, you're going to meet some friends.
People graduate from high school.
Are you saying there
spoiler
was
a... Spoiler alert. People aren't in high school forever.
All right, so favorite storyline. I'll go first. Mine's super obvious and probably, you know, whatever. But Coach Taylor winning the team over, the East Dillon Lions. Because, you know, it started when he took over. They had to forfeit the first game. He made that decision, which was not popular, but eventually he wins them over. And that moment where they have that practice at night where he doesn't think anybody's going to show up, and then slowly but surely people show up, I thought was awesome. Like, I love that moment. So that was my favorite. What was yours?
I mean, I think the buddy one. I'll just be honest. I mean, I went through a bubble list in my head. Honestly, that is the arc of Buddy Garrity.
And you've been talking about that for a while.
And I love Buddy. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's my favorite character. But I've been waiting for that moment. And to me, that's when it's just like, look, Buddy is more than just this, you know, one-dimensional character.
Yeah.
And they've been showing little bits of that. They did a lot of it with season three. And it definitely came out for season four for all the reasons I already stated.
How about you, Barnes?
For the first half, I'm not sure. I guess I kind of got into Matt and Julie stuff for the first half. I liked how – this is something that we've talked about before, how Tammy and Coach are able to, at this point in their acting journey, working together, communicate really well how they feel without talking, and everybody really being in the moment and understanding what they're going through. I feel like we got there with Matt and Julie. Their breakup, if you recall, wasn't an actual conversation. It's like they were sitting in the car and they looked at each other and everybody knew they'd just broken up and they didn't even say anything. it was really good. So I actually had that as my realest moment as well.
Yeah, that's a good one because Saracen goes through so much this season. You know, he sticks around Dylan. He says to take care of his grandmother. It's really to be with Julie. His dad dies. He's kind of spinning. They do that weird trip to Austin where Julie doesn't tell her mom that they're going. And
I had him 150% going to the Army because of everything that you just said and because of his dad.
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't.
Seriously, he would have just become his dad. I mean, his dad went to the Army to – I mean, all of you guys are all about parents, kid, mumbo-jumbo, psychological crap. You know, I mean, that would have been the predictable thing for him to do. Would have, you know, his dad was running from everything and didn't really know what to do, so he, you know – joined the Army so he didn't have to deal with stuff at home.
He's the antithesis of that. Like, he doesn't run.
He would have been easy. It would have been easy, though, for him to do it.
He doesn't do the easy thing necessarily. That's kind of not his MO.
Yeah, and that's why the shot of him driving away from Dylan was really good, I thought.
It's impressive because he does the hard thing in that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say goodbye. That was kind of bush league.
But it's so well, the high school.
Especially to Landry. Landry didn't do anything. And so
Landry got a phone call.
Landry got a phone call.
He didn't. Remember later on, spoiler alert.
No, I do remember later on, spoiler alert.
He chewed him out.
So, anyways, moving on because I don't want to pay $15 on the spoiler.
Has it gotten up to $50?
No, $15.
Oh, 15.
He was not running away. He was moving forward.
That's good. That's a good way to think of it. Because he's too talented to stick around Dylan. I mean, we didn't go through those stupid two episodes where he was shadowing that artist guy who,
Oh, that was the worst.
That was up there on my least favorite storylines. Actually, my least favorite storyline was Saracen sticking around Dylan just because it was painful to watch. It was just like, just go, man. Like, you're at working at a pizza shop. Like, you're delivering pizzas. Like, come on. I don't know. What was your least favorite?
I didn't like the interaction between Saracen and his, you know, quote unquote mentor art guy.
Yeah.
And it was just, this wasn't my least favorite moment per se, but it was a moment that had to happen, and just the dealing with the grief of Saracen's dad passing away.
It was really sad.
It's a hard episode for me to watch, but I also know that the actor did a great job, probably deserved an Emmy for the whole season, even though he was in half of it. It's just...
You're talking about Lila?
No.
The guy who plays Saracen.
The guy who plays Saracen.
I was kidding, because she randomly showed up in that episode.
That was a bad
thing. That was actually... I want more of that Lila. I want third, fourth season Lila, not second, first season Lila. But, I mean, when I say least favorite, it was just the hardest for me.
Baby Bop's not in the picture, though.
Oh, yeah. It kind of looks like Baby Bop.
Thank Arnie. You.
Well, let's talk about Lila.
You don't have Buddy's chin.
I do not.
We'll talk about Lila because she does show up. So she
comes
back for Saracen's dad's funeral / I guess it timed well with her fall break. I'm not really sure what Vanderbilt's academic calendar is like.
I think it timed well with she needed to.
Yeah.
She needs some help.
Okay, on three, everyone raise your hand if you've ridden a mechanical bull. One, two, three.
I knew whose hand and only hand was going to come up.
Are you serious? No.
It's because they live in Nashville. They're like too cool for it.
No,
We
have one in Nashville. There's one in St. Louis that we saw. I've been to Texas several times.
And you elected not to ride it?
Why would I want to ride it?
Why not? Did you not see how much fun it was?
No, it's not fun. It's more fun for everybody that's watching you.
And you look really hot when you do it, Matt.
I think that's
there you go.
You have a really, really horny old guy that's
that's true.
That when they get a girl on there.
There he is. There he is in the picture. He's right over Tim's butt.
Jiggles the line to make you jiggle up on it.
He kind
of
looks...
whenever he wants you to be off of it, he can just get you off of it. So it's not even like a competition.
There he is. He's right there. He's right there. You're right, Matt. There
he looks like Tom Crean.
Yeah.
Look at him.
Tom Crean back there.
Yeah, he's making out with that bottle like it's his son.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Lila, I mean, I get it. Everyone who's been in a serious high school relationship and they break up when they go to college, most people have this moment where they come back for fall break and if they're not
with...
Yeah, they're not with somebody that's already. It's like, well, you know, I'll just, you know, we'll hang out. And then it's like, well, do I miss this enough to commit to trying to do long distance? And usually it's no. But I actually found that storyline pretty realistic.
Check out that lady back in the background next to the, I think that's a lady in a cowboy hat.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the one on the far right.
Lot going on there, too. But, yeah, the one on the far right, I think I wish that she was Saracen's grandma. She would have been way more fun than the actual Saracen grandma. I mean, what is that on her shirt?
That says Texas, to be honest. Yeah.
Look at that grin. That grin says, look
at what she's getting.
I know what she's doing.
Been there, done that.
That boy needs to cut his hair.
Wearing it now.
Yeah. Somebody's getting pregnant.
Oh, boy. Barney, it sounded like you had thoughts about Lila's return when we were kind of previewing it on the last.
Yeah, I just found it to be completely random. It's like if you have two Minka Kelly coins and you can use those coins at any point during the episode to redeem for a Minka Kelly appearance. I just thought it was really strange to use that capital on the Saracen dad funeral.
But what was good was when Becky comes up,
yes,
knocks on the door with Tim, and Lila was just like,
Yeah, that was
that
perfect.
Is one of my favorite moments. She's, she bats her eyes at her to say hi.
That was a Billy Clyde moment right there.
That's enough reason for her to come back.
I agree.
She's like, her face says, I'm older than you. I'm hotter than you. Yes, I had sex with Tim last night and you didn't. And it's just very like.
It's what I'm talking about, Bim and Bop.
I thought that was awesome. And also, like, it was super, super awkward when Lila comes by a few days later and Tim's not there, but Becky is. And Becky's like, you're so pretty. Like,
why it must be easy for you.
Was that your most awkward moment, Tyler?
No.
Mine was two words. Old Glenn.
Yes. Was that he's the assistant coach, right?
No, Glenn was the teacher staying with Tammy.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute.
And then she looks at him and goes, oh, Glenn.
Oh, Glenn. Bless your heart.
That was definitely cringeworthy. My most cringeworthy moment was when Julie and Devin are at the gay bar and they see the assistant coach, whose name I can never remember.
The guy like, the
I looked it up today. The guy who runs or is the store manager at Sears or something.
Yeah, he works at Sears.
Yeah, and she sees him there, and it's just like that in itself is not weird.
Let's call him Coach Parrot because he repeats everything that anyone says. All he does is just repeat everything.
Yeah, but I just thought.
All right, defense, line up on the 20. He's like, defense, line up on the 20.
But you know what?
Stand Trobe, the trial.
Okay. What's up, baby pop?
Like, there's no – it's an annoying scene because you expect more to happen from that.
Yeah.
Yes. And in that same episode, and nothing happens.
It's they like don't really address it until, like, three episodes later. So, typically happens in the second half of the season. But I think we can just go ahead and say Julie comes up to him and was like, hey, I wanted to talk to you about when I saw you at the bar the other night. And he pretended like it didn't happen.
Right.
So I guess this is just Friday Night Lights' way of saying, you know, there are still closeted gay people in the world. I don't know. It was very weird.
The problem is that Stan seems Coach Stan. That's his name. Yeah. I guess. This seems somebody that Coach Taylor would get rid of as soon as he had the opportunity to.
But he can't.
Having some more coaches come over, but yeah, they use him, and he does become better. But he does so many cringeworthy stuff that it just.
When he guaranteed the victory, that was bad.
Yeah, it's just like, this is the coach that you just
that was awesome.
Put a muzzle on. Yeah, he's just too amped. He's too excited. And
I think he's great comic relief because he's just such a clown.
You know what? A moment that made me laugh that I wrote down, the random Mike Leach cameo in episode 2. Did you all catch that?
I don't think we did.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. We look have to it go up. Find it on YouTube and play it. Like,
well, now we'll get in trouble with copyrights. I'm not dealing with that again.
You got to swing your sword, dude.
Yeah, I'll turn off my screen share. I don't think that has anything to do with this. But so Coach Taylor's at the gas.
Hold it up on your phone.
Like, that's still going to get us in trouble.
You talk about it. I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Oh.
So Coach Taylor's at the gas station, and Mike Leach – walks up and is like, hey, do you know how to get to Lubbock? Because he was coaching.
Oh, yeah, we did. We talked about it.
I think
because I was like, who is that guy?
Yeah, and he's like,
you knew it was.
Hey, you're Coach Taylor. You coached the Dillon Panthers or whatever. And Coach Taylor's like, yeah. He's like, you've lost your inner pirate. And this is right when Mike Leach had written that book called Swing Your Sword or whatever. And he gives him this weird pep talk about how he needs to swing his sword and find his inner pirate again. And, like, it was really weird.
I think I just tuned out during that.
No, we talked about it.
Well, I remember we also talked about, didn't you think you saw Mac Brown in season 1 or something?
Yes, 100%. It was
Mac Brown. Did we ever determine if that was, like, legit or not?
Yeah, Baby Bop is almost positive that she saw Mac Brown do a cameo earlier.
All right, Matt's found it.
That would have been early Mac Brown, early Texas years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that now.
The gas station. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he, like, needed directions.
So I thought that was weird. It made me laugh, though. Another moment that made me laugh, Julie making an alien baby reference in episode 6 because the joke is that Gracie looks like an alien baby.
Yeah. I thought that was just our joke, but
I think
now that I've finished the series, I've been able to Google safely without fear. And did you know that this is three times as sad? That baby is triplets. And so there's three babies that look
like
babies.
It's like the Olsen twins.
Except worse and uglier, and there's three of them. So there's three. There's three.
What do they look like now?
They're probably not totally normal now. If there were three of them in the womb, they didn't develop as much in the womb, and so they looked weirder for longer outside.
Yeah, they definitely look weird.
Some groom is going to be surprised at their rehearsal dinner where they start showing pictures, baby pictures, and they're about to be like, "Whoa." Might need to backpedal out of this.
I guess my Billy Gillespie moment was them forfeiting the game, because that would be something that Billy G would do, although not for like noble reasons, just because he wanted to like go get a drink or something. I don't know. Do we have any other topics we want to cover? Because I've got one more.
Well, what was everybody's most awkward?
Probably I wrote down, is that the same as cringeworthy?
Yeah,
that's what I wrote. Cringeworthy. The assistant coach at the gay bar.
We had old Glenn. Oh, Glenn.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. There's another cringeworthy Glenn moment coming up in the second half of season 4 that I'm saving.
Yes.
My Glenn.
Episode 8.
He makes me cringe every time. Like, you knew something was coming.
Yeah.
And then I love it. That's a great Tammy moment.
Oh, Glenn.
So much pity and so much, like, darling.
There was a lot in there.
It's very Busher Hart.
Yeah.
Can we talk about my favorite moment, maybe, laugh?
Is it that one?
You bet. Okay, let's go there.
Pull up the slide.
You've been waiting for it.
I have. I've had it pulled up. Riggins and Skeeter. Oh,
nice.
I'll let you pre. You know,
I mean... Was there a more perfect combo that we have? I mean, he goes and rescues the dog again after it was already rescued and returned. Just a great attitude with the dog. I love the fact that he had a conversation with the dog in his truck so they could figure out what the dog's new name was. I mean, and there's just more to come with Skeeter. You just wait. And there's nothing more... buddy duo combo than Tim Riggins and Skeeter in the truck.
I don't remember what happens to Skeeter. Do we ever get resolution? Does he fade away?
I don't know. We just meet him in episode 7. So.
I'm pretty sure he continues on
just in brief moments.
Yeah, he's on in some brief moments, but then I think he just does a total Santiago.
Skeeter had the most significant moment in Riggins' season 4, which is he brought him to the land that Riggins is blown away about.
That's true. Which sets up the second half of season 4 pretty well. So, any other thoughts before we close it out?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, Baby Bob, thank you for joining us. Matt,
thank you for
joining us. We'll have to make this a regular occurrence. It's nice to have different voices other than just Barney complaining about grandma and talking about the B-Dubs waitress. And
it's nice to be here and have a voice rather than listen to y'all and talk back to what you said. Because I always have like a, let me clarify what you mean by that kind of statement.
So let's get your reaction. We've heard his take on what your reaction was. What was your reaction to the Buffalo Wild Waitress, Wild Wings waitress?
Have you ever exchanged numbers with a server?
We can't see her, Barney. Take down Julie.
Because Barney thinks that hasn't happened to everybody.
Yeah.
So
the Buffalo Wild Wings, we were friends for a very long time before we dated, to the point where like I have very strong feelings about his ex-girlfriends from when we were friends, not from when we were dating. And I knew nothing about this.
I was never official with her. It was just like a thing.
Still,
like,
it was only B-Dub official. It wasn't relationship official.
They just
it was
raw honey barbecue B-Dub magazine.
Wings, then you have your B-Dub flings.
It's the kind of BS that we would have talked about before. But I was surprised.
What was surprising that she wrote her number down on the thing?
that you pursued a Buffalo Wild Wings waitress. No offense to anyone, but
she wasn't ugly.
It's a weird way to meet somebody.
I like that she wasn't ugly. Like, that's not exactly she was pretty.
That's a criteria.
Yeah.
It's flattering to me now that I've...
Oh, I love it. All right. Well, we will have you guys back for at least one more episode. I would hope more. This has been really fun. We're going to cover episodes 8 through 13 next week, if that works for you all. We have like 3 more to go, I think.
So. In 4 or where are y'all?
Well, in 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We finished 2 nights ago. Yeah, we finished 2 nights ago.
4, as you said, it's a bit of more of an emotional toll.
Man, 4 is heavy. Season 4 is heavy. Second half. Yeah. But it's good. It's good. But it's just like
it is
a little more than I had. And it was just different from from a half of every other season.
I have a question, though. Did the writers change throughout? Like, I know the writers strike and everything, but after that, are they different in the different seasons? Do y'all know?
I'm not sure. I'll look it up. That's a great question. We'll look it up for the next episode.
Hey, do you think we should spend $250 to get Buddy on?
I'm not paying for
it. By we, do you mean like we?
If we could get Buddy on, though, to say something like, go Cats, go Panthers.
I think I would actually pay money just to watch you talk to Buddy. There's a lot of love there.
That would be funny.
Barney, are we talking changing the couch or, you know, the money that folds?
The money befolds. That's the line.
Yeah, I love it for coming to America.
Barney, have you looked up Vince Gill on Cameo?
I can just get him to talk to me for free.
Yeah, I mean,
so I don't really need
to. Yeah.
All I need to do is just enter the Nashville city limits, and we just end up at the same place just by magnetism. Yeah. So I've never really thought about having to spend money like a peasant.
He does attract, like, not attract. He has a lot of random encounters with celebrities.
Oh, we found out.
Anybody that I know.
Yeah. I totally.
What are y'all talking about? Which one do y'all know about?
Vince Gill?
No, I mean, when this happened, Labor Day last weekend, I remember distinctly.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Tyler asking Baby Bop of, does this happen a lot for Barney? And she's like, it happens all the time.
It's places that are like weird for me to run into them. So it's not really weird for me to run into Vince Gill in Nashville, but like
we're in Boston.
This was a good one.
Going to the Yankees Red Sox game, A-Rod's like last game against the Red Sox, waiting right outside of Fenway to go in, totally crowded. And John goes, here comes somebody famous. There's a commotion. And I was like, okay. And I start looking, he goes, it's Cal! And he's like, hey, coach, I graduated, and like stops and gets a picture, and you know, Cal's just like, sure, and goes on.
still to this day, the only, as many UK games as I've been to, as many times as I've lurked creepily around the lodge, this is the only time that I ever actually have met Coach Cal was in Boston randomly outside of England.
There you go. That's a great memory.
That's a great story.
I'm jealous.
That kind of thing happens to him.
Brad was way too cool to stop and talk to us.
Oh,
Brad's got a haircut.
Brad's got things to do
and clothes to buy.
Yeah. He's got things to earn, not give. That's I've given true. To him. Okay. Well, let's wrap it up. We will be back next week, and we will finish up season 4, and then we've just got one season left, and then it's over.
Jumbotron.
Jumbotron.
No. Some of us attract celebrities. Some of us attract Buffalo Wild Wings waitresses. I mean, just
some of us are normal.
Some of us ride.
Some of us walk off of the set like Matt, just drop the mic.
Some of us ride the mechanical bull, and some of us are too scared.
Some of us laugh at the people on the mechanical bull. So, all right, guys, we'll see you later. Clear eyes, full hearts.
Jumbotron.
Jumbotron.